Please open your Bible now and turn to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Now, what you just heard is a musical setting of Psalm 56. We are, once again, as we've done in past years, we're going to be doing Summer in the Psalms. And each week, Jeff will lead us in singing the psalm. And then we'll read it, and that'll be my preaching foundation for the day. So open your Bible now to Psalm 56. And the introduction to Psalm 56 says that this is a psalm, a miktam of David. And then it says, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now, a little background. This is before David has actually become king of Israel. He's been anointed by Samuel, but he has not yet ascended to the throne. Saul is still reigning as king. Saul hated David, saw him as a threat. And Saul was out to kill him, so David had to flee, had to run. And it's a long story. I'm going to get to it later in the message. But David is on the run, and he ended up in the town of Gath, which was a city of the Philistines, which you may remember were mortal enemies of God's people Israel. And so it was not exactly a safe place to be. But it was out of that experience and that threat and living in that danger that David wrote Psalm 56. So hear now the word of God from Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, before, enter into unpacking Psalm 56, just a couple of things. Remember that next Sunday, June 21, we're going to be together, and Lord willing, but this is our plan, at Kleiner Park in the covered picnic area right across from the Kleiner Center, 10 a.m., and then we're going to worship together outside, wear your mask. We will social distance. And also bring a lawn chair. There may not be enough seating under the cover. And given that we're going to have to distance, bring a lawn chair just in case. And all of this is going to go out in an email. But then after worship, we're going to have a lunch together. You can take off your mask. You can lift up your mask to eat. And join us next Sunday. Also, in the mail this week, you're going to get a letter from me and some information about Preston and Abby Conger and their call from God to serve in mission in Guatemala. And these are, Abby and Preston are members of our church. Abby grew up in our church, and we are just delighted and proud to send them from our congregation to witness to Jesus Christ and help build the church in Guatemala. They need two things from us. They need financial support, and they need prayer support. So you're going to get a letter this week from me and some information and a pledge card. And I ask that you prayerfully consider, if you can, financial support, if you feel so led for financial support. Every little bit helps. But dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to see our church pledge 100% prayer support. We can do that. Even if you can't do financial support, we can all pledge prayer support. And so please consider that prayerfully. Now, Psalm 56. I want to begin by asking you a question. What keeps you awake at night? There's something about late at night, and there's something about when you can't sleep that it's just, it seems to be impossible to turn your mind off. Late night thoughts can be, well, you can get thoughts rolling through your mind and worries rolling through your mind and fears rolling through your mind, and you can't shut them off. Maybe it's a teenage child who is out somewhere and hasn't come home yet. Or maybe it's that spot on the x-ray that your doctor didn't like and said we have to do more tests. Or maybe you're worried about your marriage or your job or your retirement is not turning out the way you hoped it would. And these days, as if we didn't have enough other things to keep us awake at night, we've got the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdowns that have gone along with it and the impact on our economy and for many of us on our income and on our plans for the future. And then if that wasn't enough, over the last couple of weeks, we've had our cities in turmoil and with passionate anger and pain about racial issues and issues of racial injustice. But along with that, violence and destruction and senseless killing. And we wonder what's going to happen to our country. Usually during the day, I find that for me, usually during the day, the narcotic of busyness can keep my mind occupied. But it's when I can't sleep at night that unwanted thoughts just keep turning over and turning over. And it can be a lonely feeling. And even if there's somebody sound asleep beside you, you begin to feel that no one sees, no one knows, no one understands. The message of Psalm 56 is that you and I are quite wrong about that. God knows, God sees, God understands. Look at verse 8. Oh God, and remember what was going on with David. He's just escaped from the city of Gath. He's on the run. You think he was having a hard time sleeping? He says, "Oh God, you have kept count of my tossings. You've put my tears in your bottle." Isn't that one of the most remarkable lines in the whole Bible? Think about that for just a minute. The Almighty God of the universe, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who is keeping track of everything that's going on in the violence and conflict, not on our, I'm not even thinking of our streets, the violence and conflict in Africa. God is sovereign over that, keeping track of it. God is keeping track of the crisis in our streets. God is keeping track of the COVID-19 pandemic. God is sovereign over every microbe and knows where every one of them is. God is keeping track over the weather in Antarctica and counting your tossings. And as David said, collecting your tears in his bottle. He knows and he cares. You are not alone, dear friend. And meeting this God who counts your tossings and collects your tears, meeting this God is the only way to find peace in this broken world. The only way. And you can meet him because he sent his son Jesus into the world for you and for me. And Jesus said, "Come to me, everyone, and find life." Now, we're going to come back to that in a minute. But let's get back to David right now. David wrote this psalm. He was a young man having a very dark night. Remember, he had already been anointed king of Israel by Samuel, but he's not yet taken the throne. He has killed Goliath, the giant Philistine warrior, and he has led the army of Israel in some great victories against the Philistines. He's become famous throughout Israel. He is a hero to the people, and the people love him. He's become super popular, and he has become a great big threat to Saul, who is already on the throne of Israel and wants to keep the job. David has one close friend that he can count on, and that's Jonathan, Saul's son. But now David has had to flee for his life away from friendship and security, and he might never see, he's no doubt afraid, he's never going to see his friend again. So maybe it was out of desperation and maybe just fearful being. When we're afraid, we get irrational. And so David, in not the best decision of his life, on the run, decides to go and hide in the city of Gath, which was the hometown of Goliath, the great hero of the Philistines, who is now dead. Okay? Well, the Philistines discovered David, captured him, dragged him in front of their king. And David is completely terrified, but he's still very resourceful. And so he decides to act like a crazy man. Maybe they won't kill me if they think I'm a crazy man. So David is down on all fours, crawling around, scratching at the walls, and drooling down his beard. And the king of Gath is so disgusted by this performance. In fact, it's a little bit humorous. The king of Gath says to the people that arrested David and drug him in, he says, "Was I lacking crazy people in Gath that you needed to bring me one from Israel? Get this guy out of here." So David's little plan worked. He gets thrown out of town. And I'm having fun with the story, and it is a little bit funny, but this is one of the lowest moments of David's life. And that night, Psalm 56 was written. And it continues today to speak to people who lie awake at night and wonder how the world got so crazy. We do not pray Psalm 56. And by the way, I recommend pray it. And I forgot to tell you at the beginning, Psalm 56 and 57 go together. They are a matched pair. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But we do not pray Psalm 56 to inform God of our fears. God already knows about our fears. He's counted our tossings. He's collected our tears in his bottle. No, we pray this psalm to find hope and courage in God. Prayer is the means of entering into the presence of God. Prayer is one of the most amazing gifts God has given us. Think about it. This, by prayer, at any moment, we can. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Why? Because by prayer, we enter into the presence of God. And in the presence of the God of the universe, fears evaporate. If you doubt, pray anyway. The power of prayer is not in your power. The power of prayer is not in your faith. The power of prayer is in God. Prayer is powerful, not because we are, but because God is. So when you're in doubt, go to God anyway. Tell him about your doubts. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Let me tell you something, and it's at the heart of this psalm. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the great enemy of faith. I want you to think for a minute about Jesus, our Savior. One of the things that attracts us to Jesus and that makes him so winsome is his compassion, his understanding, and his tolerance of human frailty. But let me tell you something about Jesus, and I'm going to go on to give you some examples. But I challenge you to study this in the Gospels on your own. There's one thing that for which Jesus had no patience and no tolerance, and that was fear. When he saw it, he rebuked it. Think for a minute. The disciples of Jesus were in a boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm blew in, and water was breaking into the boat. They were about to sink, and the disciples were terrified. Jesus calmed the storm, remember? And then he gathered his disciples together and hugged them and said, boo, 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 you poor little things. No. He rebuked them. He said, have you no faith? Why are you afraid? And remember, Jesus told a story about three servants of a master. We call it the parable of the talents. The first servant got five talents. The second servant, and a talent is an amount of money. The second servant got two talents, and the third servant got one talent. And then the master left, went to a far country, and then later returned. And the first servant who got five talents had invested it and got a return of five talents more. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. The second likewise had invested and got a return, doubled his investment, a return of two talents. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. The third came with his one talent. The third came and said, master, I was afraid. And so I took your talent and I buried, and I dug a hole in the ground and buried it to keep it safe. And now I brought it back to you. Here it is. And the master said, boo, boo, boo. Come here. Let me comfort you. You were afraid. No. The master said, and this is out of the mouth of Jesus, you wicked and lazy servant. Jesus had no tolerance for fear. Now, why is that? The answer is found, I believe the answer is found in one of my favorite verses of the New Testament, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And dear friends, the amount of fear in us is an indicator of the amount of perfect love that we have received from our Savior. Now, you may be wondering, now, okay, Phil, I know that's in the Bible, but how can perfect love cast out fear? How does love push out fear? Well, I'm going to give you a human example, and this is not even perfect love. Think of a young couple, and they're in love. And they've committed themselves to each other. They're going to get married. They're going to spend their life together. And some of you that have been married for a long time, you may have to dig way back into your memory. But they're just goofy in love. They have no plan for the future. They have no idea how they're going to pay the bills. And they don't care. They're in love. They're just moving boldly ahead into the world because love blows away fear. Now, that's just human love. Perfect love, says 1 John, the love of God casts out fear. And as you know, there's only one source. And the way to receive that love, the way to be renewed in that love every day, I really believe, is prayer. Take time every morning, the beginning of your day, to be renewed in the love of God. Read John 3:16, pray it. Read Psalm 56, pray it. Meditate on the mighty love of God, the endless, infinite, powerful love of God for you that sent his Son into the world for you. Open yourself up to that love in prayer and receive a fresh filling every day. You know, it's like manna. Remember the people of Israel collecting manna in the wilderness, that nourishment that God put on the ground every night. And it had to be collected every day, because if they tried to collect more than one day's worth and save it, it spoiled. It has to be, the love of God has to be collected and received every day. And when you're filled up with the love of God, there's no need to fear. Now, the alternative to prayer that we often try is we try to manage our fears on our own. And sooner or later, what you're going to discover is that your fears are managing you. And your fears are making the decisions for you. Fear will be in the driver's seat, just as it was for David. And you'll find yourself in places you didn't want to be and doing things you didn't want to do. How did I get here with the Philistines? I don't even like these people. And why am I doing crazy things? Why have I given up control of my life? because you didn't take your fear to God in prayer. And now fear is steering your life instead of God. Now, I'm not saying we should never be alarmed. To be alarmed when alarm is called for is actually a really good thing. What I'm saying is that when your heart is filled with the love of God, there's no reason to panic. When you're filled with the love of God, alarms are a call to action. First pray, then get with other believers who love you and support you. And then from that foundation, we go out into the world to be the salt and the light of Jesus Christ, where he has sent us. Now, this is not recorded in Psalm 56, but I want to give you more of the background. After David was forced to flee from Gath, he found refuge in the cave of Adullam. This also is part of the background of the psalm. 1 Samuel 22 says, when David's brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they heard of how David had been captured in Gath and escaped, and now he's in the cave at Adullam. They hear this. When they heard of it, they all went down there to him. And it says that those who met him there, there was a great gathering at the cave of Adullam. The word got out, David is there. And people were gathered to him. Men were gathered to him and became a great fighting force. But listen to this description. It was those in distress, those in debt, and everyone who was discontented. What a crew. And there, protected by that cave and surrounded by people who loved him and cared about him, David wrote the next psalm, Psalm 57. And it begins, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until the storms of destruction pass by. Now, that's a tremendous image. Under the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. Have you ever seen video? Perhaps you've seen video of an eagle tending her nest and caring for her little eaglets. I'm hearing another voice coming from the other room. Anyway, sorry about that. Eagles build their nest in the very tippy top of a tree. And that nest is way up there on the top of the tree, totally exposed to the elements. When the skies darken and the storm blows in and the tree begins to sway back and forth, Mother Eagle goes to the nest, and you know what she does. She spreads out her great massive wings over the nest to protect the eaglets. And she'll do that. She'll keep those wings spread out until the destroying storm passes by. Dear friends, nothing in the Bible says that if you live right, you will escape storms in this life. Nothing in the Bible says that if you have faith in God, you will escape the storms of this world, or you won't have to live in a stormy time. The Bible never promises that. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus said, storms will come in to every life. It's part of the deal. It's part of serving God in this sin-broken world. It's part of being representatives of, look at what Jesus faced and the persecution that he faced. And he said, Look what they're going to do to me. Do you think you'll be treated better? But the Bible does promise you'll come through the storm under the protection of the God who loves you. Under those wings, under the protection of that love. The question for us in a day of challenge like today, dear friends, and everything that's going on in the world around us, and the racial strife and cries for justice and the turmoil in our streets. The call for us is what Mordecai said to Queen Esther. How do you know that you were not raised up for just such a time as this? How do you know that God didn't place you right here in this place, in this time, in these days, for just such a time as this? So don't panic. We don't have to panic. We don't have to do crazy things. We don't have to run out and try to manage the storm in the world, and we don't have to try to fix it. Now, you can, and most people do, try to manage the storms and fix people around them, manage it on your own. You can navigate, you can try to navigate the storm on your own. You can lie awake nights and stew and worry. Now, I also want to say maybe you're not worried at all. Maybe you say, hey, Phil, this doesn't affect me in the least. And you're saying, Phil, I am managing life on my own just fine. Thank you. I'll call on God when I need him someday. Well, let me tell you something. If you continue on your own, one day you will. You will lie awake at night and wonder what happened to your life and how it got so far out of control. That day will come. You'll wonder how you got so lost. But it doesn't have to be that way. You are beloved of God. You are loved with all the love there is. You are loved with a perfect love. God so loved you and me that he gave his only son, that if we would only believe in him, we would have everlasting life, eternal life. And eternal life in the Bible doesn't just mean an infinite extension. It means a new quality of life, a new purpose in life that begins right now and extends forever. And when you receive that life, you can pray along with David. You can pray these words of Psalm 56 right along with David. And I'm going to pick up in verses 9 to 11. If you got your Bible open, follow with me. We can pray these words right along with David. This I know, that God is for me. Do you know that today? God is for you. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Now, that phrase, in God we trust, is stamped on our coins and our dollar bills, isn't it? Is it stamped on your heart today? In God I trust, said David, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Mighty Father, we thank you for your great love that has reached into our lives when we were so far from you. We were like David running away and trying to hide in a place like Gath. and your love reached out to us and called us to yourself and made us new in Christ. We thank you for Jesus, who didn't fear the storm. And Jesus, who has made the way back to you so that we don't need to fear it either. Father, I pray, give us the courage that comes by faith, that comes by trust in you. May we say, along with David and from the heart, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. May we be bold ambassadors of Jesus Christ in a world that needs so badly to hear the good news that there's reconciliation in Christ, that there is forgiveness in Christ, that there is a new beginning in Christ, and there's a hope in Christ, that all the pain and suffering of this world is one day going to make sense in that great gathering before your throne, where every tribe and tongue and nation, every race will be gathered to sing your praise. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.